Going Linux, Episode 211, Computer America, Number 63. Welcome to the Going Linux Podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy. Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux. We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. In today's episode, Computer America.
You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. Computer America is heard around the world and coast to coast. And I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Computer America show. And our apologies, we've got some technical difficulties. Ben's headset, unfortunately, is causing a great deal of noise, and we're just going to have to ask you to bear with us. Brother's roommate is on the way over trying to deliver them to him, the new headsets, but I don't know if Ben's going to be able to hear him knocking on his door. But we're going to try to get the new headsets, his usual headsets over. In the meantime, he's using another pair, which is causing noise. So it's not your radio. It's just the connection that we have here tonight. So I just thought we'd alert you to that so you don't have to mess around with the dial on your radio. The static is not coming from the radio headset. In the meantime, as I said, it's going to be all Linux tonight. It's the third Tuesday of the month. That means it's all Linux here on tonight's show. That's right. And joining us here in our efforts to do that is our good friend Larry Bushy. He is our Linux expert and Computer America correspondent. He's also the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Hey, Larry, welcome into Computer America. How are you?
Thanks very much. Doing great, and looking forward to another wonderful topic.
Yes, absolutely. Let's explain that. You see, every month I always ask Larry to give us a topic that we can kind of discuss. And what we do is, of course, when we're talking about that, we still will take your phone calls and answer your questions about Linux. So the way you do that is just give us a call. It's toll-free, 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. We'll get you on and get you through. That's the number to call. If you have email, live@computeramerica.com, live@computeramerica.com is a great way to reach us as well. You can also join us in our live interactive add-on chat room from our homepage at computeramerica.com. You'll see there's a button there that says chat room. Just click it. It'll ask you for a username. Click the sign-in button, and your Java-enabled browser, be it on a Windows machine, Mac, Linux, they all work, will move you into the chat room. Larry is in there as well. He's Going Linux Larry. He's got the green avatar in there, signifying he is the guest of the show for tonight. Also, you can Skype us, too, if you like. Our Skype address is one word, Computer America. So now the topic for tonight is how to buy Linux pre-installed.
Yes, okay. It is.
And Linux, of course, is the is yet another operating system tantamount to like Windows and OS X on the Mac. Linux is a free operating system, and as I said, we're going to talk about it. And the topic is how to buy Linux pre-installed. And again, you can follow along with us on our show notes at computeramerica.com if you would like to. So let's get started. And basically, how do you buy Linux pre-installed, Larry?
Okay. I try to phrase these as a nice question that you can ask me as a nice tee-up for for all the talking points, Craig. Yeah. It seems to work just about every time. So anyway, as we know, we've got a lot of listeners who are using Linux or trying Linux or perhaps even just testing it out. Maybe they haven't converted over to Linux, or maybe there's some folks out there that have been using it for quite a while to run on older Windows and Mac hardware to extend the lives of those machines, because Linux is very good at doing that. But we're going to talk today about some computer hardware that you can buy with Linux pre-installed. And, you know, if you're buying a Mac, you buy one with Mac OS pre-installed, not that you have much choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're buying a Windows PC, you buy one with Windows 8 pre-installed, you may be able to get Windows 7 for a little bit longer if you hunt really, really hard, but Windows 8 is pretty much what you're going to get. And we talked about the Chromebook last month on the show. And if you buy a Chromebook, you're buying it with the Chrome operating system pre-installed. So it only makes sense if you want to run desktop Linux that you want to buy a computer hardware with Linux pre-installed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to be talking about. What it is you can buy, how you can buy it. And, you know, back in April, we took a look at the Telekin computer that has Linux pre-installed
yes.
on it. That's one of the ones you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we mentioned last month, the Chromebook, the Chrome operating system is based on Linux. We've already talked about that one. But we're going to talk about a few others and maybe discuss what some of the options are from some of these vendors. And you may be surprised how many vendors there are who actually sell computer hardware, either specially built for Linux or a popular brand name computer distributor that might provide Linux on their computer for you
mm-hmm.
as well.
Okay.
So lots of those options and possibilities.
All right. So, you know, as you say, it only makes sense that if you buy a computer to run Linux, that you should buy one with Linux pre-installed,
mm-hmm.
which would make sense. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. And it used to be the reason that people would want to buy Linux pre-installed. It was because Linux had a limited list of hardware that it actually supported. And so you sometimes had to buy a computer with Linux pre-installed in order to ensure that it was going to run properly for you. But over the last 10 or even 5 years, the hardware compatibility on Linux has become a non-issue for most things. So Wi-Fi and network and video adapters used to be the worst hardware to get compatible with Linux, and most of that those issues have gone away. Every once in a while I run across a Wi-Fi network card that has some trouble with Linux, and video drivers between those developed by the Linux community and some increased support for Linux on the part of the video card manufacturers themselves providing their own proprietary drivers, those problems have all but gone away as well. But, you know, if you do buy a computer with Linux pre-installed, you are definitely guaranteed that it's going to work because it's designed for Linux, or at the very least handpicked by the distributor of that computer with components that are assured to be working with and compatible with Linux. And most everything in terms of peripherals these days is plug and play. Now that drivers are baked into the Linux kernel and the latest Linux kernel has the latest drivers, of course. So unless your hardware is 5 or 10 years old, most modern computer hardware and accessories will work with Linux.
All right. By the way, we have a caller. So as we said, we're going to interrupt whatever we're doing when we do. His name is Richard.
Sure.
Richard, he's listening to us in San Diego, California. Computer America, Craig Crossman. Hi, Richard.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. Welcome to the show. What's your Linux question?
Here's my problem. DNS changer virus. I think I have one.
Well, you're not running Linux, are you?
No. I might have a look at it.
Oh,
after
okay.
the headache I have with Windows.
But now you're tired of all the viruses that you get with the Windows, and of course Linux has virtually no virus problems associated to it. So you're thinking of switching over to Linux, so
I
you don't
really have
to
look at it, because I'm listening to you and the previous caller, previous year
uh-huh.
before I got on. And I'm thinking I get a choice, maybe Linux or DOS 6.22.
Okay, well, if you go with DOS 6.22, you're going to have a very limited selection of software
yeah.
that you can
That's
run. Like
it's probably not the best
choice. Stuff from the 1990s.
Yeah, exactly. But with Linux, of course, you can run, you know, a very modern operating system, which it is.
Absolutely.
And I think I'll tell you what, Richard, we're up against the break. You want to hold on, and we'll take you.
Sure, yeah, well, for sure.
All right, we'll take you back after the commercial break. Okay. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network. It is our All Linux Show with Larry Bushy. We got Richard on the phone. We'll be right back with him when we come back. This is the Computer America Show. Twenty-one minutes after the hour here in the Computer America Show, Ben and I are talking to Larry Bushy. It's our All Linux Show, and on the phone with us, we are talking to Richard, who's calling us from San Diego, California, asking for some about the Linux operating system. Richard, you still there with us?
Yes.
Okay. So, what words of wisdom can you impart to Richard, Larry?
Well, so let me ask a couple of questions. What kind of a computer is it? Do you know the brand name, or did you build it yourself?
I have a Win 7 on a HP, and I have a Avista on a Gateway.
Okay, so you've got a couple of computers, and you're tired of the viruses, is that right?
Well, the thing is, it seems to, I can't seem to get rid of it. I ran the standard virus check, and it comes out empty. I took it to a friend, and he said, you don't have anything. But then I get these messages when I try to go to an email, especially Hotmail, and it says, the certificate doesn't match. Get out of here, you know. It could be a counterfeit site.
Uh-huh. Well, and I think that's that may be a warning when you're clicking on links to that, you know, that the website you're going to might be a little bit suspect.
That's in my email.
Yeah.
My email site.
Oh, it's right in the email itself, in the body of the email?
No. So when I click on, I put my email name and the password in. That message comes up, and then I make sure I log out. And the thing is, if I take the router and modem and I reset them, it seems to work okay for a while.
Huh. Okay. Well, you know, if it's you may have an issue with your email itself, but assuming that you know it's not the email, then you could certainly try Linux as an option, and I would recommend you do that before you install it. And you can do that without even installing it by going to one of the Linux distributions that you can go to and one of their websites. And there will be some instructions there on how to make a CD or a DVD that you can boot from that will allow you to try Linux before you install it or give it a shot to make sure that it will work with your Gateway or your HP computer, whichever one you decide. So let's in the show notes I will put a link to an article we actually just updated just recently on how to install Linux. It's actually a screencast. There's a screencast on it, and there's an article on it as well. So let me get that link in the show notes.
And I want to ask Richard to make sure that you've checked your clock or time or calendar on your computer, because a bad certificate is caused by his computer giving the server the wrong times. That'll happen too. So make sure your clock is correctly set. That's another point. Actually, Ben gave me that point, so which is a good one. I don't know why you just don't tell him yourself, Ben.
I'm afraid of this microphone. Yeah, no. I did a little bit of research, and it says that, you know, maybe sometimes it's your calendar. You know, it says it's like the year 2011, and so when you try to log into the system, it, you know, tries to, you know, talk with your computer, and it says, hey, it's 2011, and then it says, no, it's 2013, and then you get that little conflict there, and, you know, that's where it pops up.
Okay, that's a good point.
Okay, so
Yeah, so that would be the first thing to try, just to make sure that you know, your computer is working properly and that there aren't any problems. But that doesn't prevent you from trying Linux as well, of course. And as I said, I'll have some information in the show notes for this show on installing Linux on a computer and how to go about doing that. And there'll be links from that to a screencast on how to download and burn that CD if you need some instructions on how to do that as well. So I'll just read out the URL. It's not too difficult. It's goinglinux.com. Okay. And if you go to the articles tab on goinglinux.com, and sort by date, that's the second little icon over to the right, you'll see that March 31st there is a of 2012 there's an article titled Installing Linux Software Applications and Packages, and from that you'll find some links on how to install Linux itself, as well as I'll put a screencast link in the show notes as well, so that you can get a video that you can watch on how to install Linux too. So that'll get you started as well. The first step, of course, before you install is to give it a try from the CD or the DVD, and that'll give you a chance to take a look at it, see if you like it. It isn't for everybody. It may be for you, and more and more people are converting over to Linux every day, that's for sure.
Now, can I have a dual boot with that and keep my Windows and Linux both?
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
And again, once that's very easy. There's a couple of ways of doing that. Once you have the CD, you'll go to the Linux Distribution's website. You'll download a file and you'll follow the instructions on burning it to a CD. So you'll have a CD, and you can either from within Windows just put that CD in your CD drive, and it will offer to install Linux right alongside of Windows. And if you decide later on that you don't like it, all you have to do is go into the Add Remove Program section of Windows. If it's XP or the program section, programs and applications section, if it's Windows 7, and you can uninstall it from there because it's installed as though it were a Windows application. Of course, it's not. The other way you can do is you can insert the CD when your computer is off. So obviously you have to have the CD drawer open, put the CD in, close it, and then start your computer. Just after starting it, you'll note that it says press some sort of key to get into the settings or the BIOS, it may call it, or a boot sequence, it may call it. But there'll be a key. It'll usually be a function F9. If it's on your HP, it'll be function F9 or function F12. And what that will do is it will allow you to boot your computer from the CD. So doing that, you're not using your hard drive at all where Windows is installed. You're running the Linux operating system from the CD, and it's running entirely from that CD, and you can then give it a try. But you'll find that right on the desktop there is an install Linux icon, and if you double click that, that'll allow you to install it. One of the options you'll have is to install it alongside of Windows, and you can do that. And that, either way, you've got a dual boot computer.
All right,
okay,
Richard.
One quick question. Can I transfer my bookmarks to the Linux?
All right, I'll tell you what, Richard. We got to take a break and stay on the phone, and we'll come back to that question. Okay, we'll help you out. All right, just stay on the line. This is the Computer America Show. You know, I can't find the press some any key. You know, anyway, hey, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show. We have Larry Bush here, and it's all Linux, and we also have a caller who kind of asked right before the break how easy it would be to get you know, some of his personal information off of the Windows side. You know, he mentioned bookmarks and things like that.
Yeah, Richard. Yeah.
Yes. So do we have Richard still on the line, or did
he? I'm still here.
Okay, he's still there.
Okay, good, good. So, Richard, to answer your question about the bookmarks specifically, they're in your browser. Which browser do you use? Do you use Firefox or Internet Explorer, do you know?
Firefox most of the time. Explorer when I have to. And occasionally Chrome, but increasingly Chrome.
Right. Okay. So with Chrome or Firefox, it's very easy. In fact, if you've got them synchronized, the browser itself, then when you both Chrome and Firefox are available on Linux, and if you have them synchronized, as they call it, when you install or when you begin to use the browser in Linux, if you log into your account, it will synchronize all your bookmarks back for you. Now, if you don't have them synchronized, or if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can certainly export the bookmarks from your, let's just take Firefox as an example. You can export the bookmarks from Firefox, and that will make a little file that you can open in Firefox on the Linux machine, and that will import the bookmarks for you as there into that version of Firefox, and they'll work exactly the same way. So I also have some instructions on how to do that, so let me get that from our archives and put that on the show notes as well for you. It's a little bit older article, but certainly it's still functional, and the instructions are pretty close to what you're needing.
All right, Richard.
Thank you much. You guys are great.
Hey, thank you for listening.
No problem.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. By the way, in the Chrome, is it in the settings? Is there a synchronize option in the settings? Where would you find that?
You know what? I'm not as familiar with Chrome because I use Firefox, well, but I know that there's a way to synchronize those bookmarks back to your Google account.
Well, in preferences in Firefox, I mean, is there a synchronize option there?
Yeah. So in Firefox, there's a couple of ways. You can use an add-on. But in the Linux version of Firefox, under the Tools menu, there's a Sync Now.
That's it. Yeah, I see it.
Selection. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that allows you to sync your bookmarks and your settings for Firefox as well.
I've never used that, but because I've never signed on, but it is. It's there. So that is nice.
Yeah, it's there. And if you're using Firefox on different machines, it can synchronize your bookmarks across machines, whether they're Windows, Mac, Linux, or Android, wherever you can install Firefox, you can get exactly the same bookmarks on all platforms.
Okay, so let's talk about where we left off. We were talking about...
In an unrelated side note, I got a better mic.
Oh, you did?
Very nice. Yes,
hey.
You can tell the difference.
Wow, you sound much clearer. Yes. So Chris showed up, huh?
Yes, he did.
All right, good.
Very good. Thanks. Yeah, that snowstorm that was happening in the background there, that's all gone, so that's good.
Well, that's the problem. With any snowstorm between South Carolina and California, where we are, you know, everywhere in between, if there's a storm, we hear it.
There you go.
Yes,
I don't know
exactly.
If that's true.
So, so back to how to buy a computer with Linux pre-installed. So we've got quite a list of different vendors in the show notes, and topping the list is well-known within the Linux circles, at least a very well-known computer supplier, manufacturer, developer, distributor, whatever you want to call them, System 76. And you can go to www.system and then the number 7, the number 6.com, and that will take you to their website. They're a U.S.-based distributor of computers. They pre-install for you Ubuntu Linux only, so they don't give you a lot of choice on which distribution, but Ubuntu is the most popular Linux distribution out there, at least arguably it is, and if it's number one, it's number two, and they sell Linux-optimized hardware, and it's specially designed hardware for System 76, and they They are manufacturing these Ubuntu pre-installed laptops, desktops, and servers, and they've done that since 2005. I've put a quote from their website on the show notes as well. And these guys are definitely a seller of premier laptops and desktop computers for sure. Very high quality hardware, and of course designed to be Linux compatible. They provide warranty. And you can get multiple years of warranty along with your purchase as well. And they can provide online support. They have chat support. They have everything you'd expect from a computer manufacturer, quite frankly. And they don't mind if you install another Linux distribution on there, but they do provide ongoing support for Ubuntu, and they've actually got some utilities and things and disk images specifically for Ubuntu and they're geared to help you with Ubuntu in particular.
All right, good.
Yeah, another computer, the second one, is System 76. Now, they're also, excuse me, I just talked about them, ZA Reason, or you might pronounce it Z Reason. They spell it Z or Z for our Canadian listeners, AReason.com. Also a U.S.-based manufacturer. And they allow you to choose from several different Linux distributions. So you can pick from the list, or you can specify your own. They also provide Linux-optimized hardware, laptops, desktops, servers as well. And they've been in business since 2007. And they've done a good business for themselves, not just online, but they're starting some brick-and-mortar stores in various locations as well around the world. I think it's New Zealand they have a store already, and they're looking out to branch out in other locations as well. So definitely an up-and-coming company investing in expansion for sure.
Mm, wow.
And if you take a look at both of those two suppliers' websites, you'll see that they have some very sophisticated websites where you can go in and you can configure a computer, you can order accessories, you can order t-shirts and hats and mugs and stuff as well, and you can get them right online, and you can also, at least for ZA Reason, if you can find one of their stores, and they have them located in one of the links from their website, you can find them as well, and purchase it, I expect, right from the store. I don't know how far along they are in building those stores, but their prices are not unreasonable. You're not going to pay what Linux people call the Microsoft tax, which is paying for Windows and then eliminating it from your computer by installing Linux on top of it. But you're, by the same token, not going to save a lot of money, because the cost to a computer manufacturer of the software Windows is like $10, $20, even though you may have to pay $400 at the store for a full license copy of it. So it really doesn't account for much of the cost of the computer itself. So you're not going to save anything on the hardware,
Yeah. But
what you are going to save is on the viruses and support and spyware and all the other stuff that goes along with it.
Okay, well, all good points. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As for some, and I was going to say real quick, you know, we had Ralph Bond on last Friday, I believe, we actually did a story with him about this company called Stealth. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No, I haven't.
They make portable computers and rugged computers and computers for the average person can buy them, but they are, you know, they go anywhere from like, you know, $600-$700 all the way up to like $10,000. So,
ouch,
you know, they're quite impressive computers, but every one of them does have the option of coming with Linux pre-installed. And I didn't see on your list, so I thought I'd just throw
them. No, they're not on my list because I haven't heard of them. I'm going to have to take a look at what they have. And maybe add them to my list. That's for sure.
Maybe, maybe not. We did find out during during our show that they do charge. The cheapest operating system is Ubuntu, and they charge an extra $100 for that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we were like, why is that $100 for a free operating system?
Yeah, because I guess,
what was the answer?
I said it was a distribution. It's a paid distribution. Large companies will only use a paid distribution because that means they have somebody to call when they need technical support. And Ubuntu does support it. So that was my answer, you know. So.
Okay, sure. Well, yeah, they may provide support with that.
I would think so. Hey, we got lots more. We got another break coming up, and then we'll continue on. 866-606-TALK is the toll-free number. If you have a question for Larry, we'll be right back. Fifty-one minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Computer America Show. It's our All Linux Show with our correspondent Larry Bushy, and we're talking about some of the links that you can see again on the show notes. Just head over to the show notes, and you can see all of the links that we're talking about. We're talking about ZA Reason, which is a U.S.-based company, and allows you to choose from several distributions or specify
right.
your own. Yeah.
Right, and a couple of other U.S.-based companies you might want to take a look at. Think Penguin. Let me say it clearly All right. so people understand me here. They are dedicated software, dedicated to software freedom is what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. So they're going to install distributions with no proprietary drivers, and one in particular they like is Triskel, T-R-I-S-Q-U-E-L. Mm-hmm. And as I said, they're U.S.-based as well. Another is Emperor Linux. They sell medium to high-end laptops. They ship their own distribution of Linux on it, though, but they give you a choice of six other alternatives, too. Dell used to sell a lot of computers with Linux on it. They only have one model that I can find these days, and it's geared towards developers. It's pre-installed with Ubuntu and a bunch of developer tools. That rounds out the U.S.-based group that we'll talk about here, just not in the show notes, but a couple of others that you might want to look at. There is a link in the show notes to an article or a website, rather, that is the link that's labeled Linux Preloaded. And that list includes the manufacturers we've talked about, as well as several others outside the U.S., including Linux Now, an Australian vendor, Linux Emporium, a vendor based in the U.K., and most of these companies will ship worldwide as well. In that list, too, is a sublist of distributors of something called the FIT PC. There's a Tiny Green PC, a distributor out of the UK that distributes those. There's another one. Where is it here? Where did I find it? I've lost my link now. CompuLab. There they are. They also distribute the FIT PC. And this is a fanless, small, tiny desktop computer that, of course, doesn't come with any peripherals at all. And it's very, very tiny. Doesn't even come with a significant hard drive, ARM processor-based. You'll take a look at it. You'll be impressed with the size, if not with the power. We've talked about Telekin before. They use MSI as their hardware manufacturer, and they install Linux on it, a special configuration of Linux designed for seniors of all ages, as they like to say. We've talked about the Raspberry Pi, not in any depth, another UK-based organization that develops a credit card size computer that they sell for $25.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Even come with a case. So you got to provide your own case and cables and everything else. But for $25, pretty darn good.
We had David Perry, one of our correspondents, purchased one. What was he using it for, Ben? I forgot.
Oh, I've read so many projects where people were using to, like, you know, time their pool pumps and start the dishwashers and things. I don't even remember what he used this for.
Yeah, the people have used them to make little robots. They've used them in all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
I even read an article recently where a computer hacker, white hat hacker, proof of concept, put one inside a power brick, had taken out all the power guts from a power brick from a laptop, put one in there, connected up a USB power, which is what the Raspberry Pi needs, and on one end, and the other end that would normally go to a laptop, he plugged into the Ethernet port, and then you would plug that into an Ethernet, and it looks like a power brick, and it's a full computer running on a surreptitiously on a on a network. Of course, not for criminal use.
Of course.
Of course. So lots of different projects you can do with Raspberry Pi.
Yes, you can. So what does this leave us? Yeah, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, so we've got a couple more that you can access from the from one of the links there. As I said, the link preloaded, Linux preloaded. On that website, you'll see a bit of a discussion of each of these various distributors. There's one called Ray Technology. They describe it as they sell a small fanless desktop as well as a laptop, each pre-installed with a custom Linux distribution called Ray OS.
All right.
I'm wondering if it's owned by Ray, but you know, so some of these are very small organizations. Some of these are organizations like Dell Computer and System 76 that are premier and ZA Reason, of course, that are premier computer manufacturers. And you can find them on this list in the country of your choosing, and most of them ship worldwide from wherever they are.
All right. Okay. So I think we're just winding up here. And so basically, if you want to buy Linux pre-installed, the bottom line is that you
would
can.
You recommend doing something like this, or is it kind of not worth the hassle compared to, you know, like you said, it's only $10 to $20 to buy a Windows PC, or at least for the Windows software.
Yeah, for the Windows software that's included with the PC. Well, it really depends on what you're after. So if you're looking for support from the computer manufacturer, you get that with a system from System 76, ZA Reason, or any of the vendors that we've talked about here. And they will provide warranty support as well as software support and support on their forums as well. And not just on forums and online, but also phone support and chat room support and things like that. So that's what you'd really be buying, as well as a computer that's customized and optimized for use with Linux. And if you take a look at some of the high powered systems from any of these companies, you'll notice that they are very high-end computers, many of them designed for gamers, and many of them where a gamer would install Windows on it in order to play games. But now that we have Steam on Linux, you don't even have to do that for, you know, provided that your favorite game is available on the Linux version of Steam, and there are more and more coming every day. So that those are the reasons why you would want it. Just you don't want to hassle with you want a brand new system. You want it pre-installed with Linux, so you don't have to hassle with installing it and installing Linux. Not that it's really a hassle, but hey, you know, every little step counts, and why not get the best?
Okay, so there you go. We've got a break, top of the hour break. We're going to have computer news from your local national company, national news source, and another hour of the Computer America Show with Larry Bushy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman. What happened to Ben?
I don't know. He's silent.
Ben, are you there? Oh, I guess he evidently he had to run out. So I just got to know.
Okay, and I'm your guest, Larry Bush.
Yes, and we're back, and we are talking to Larry Bush. It's our All Linux show. It's just a crazy night tonight.
This is just nuts.
It is nuts, you know. But you know, welcome to live broadcast radio. Things happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Part of it is, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Ben has moved. We moved him to South Carolina. You know, he got a new job and, he's in a new digs and, he's kind of just settling in and it's like the second day from work and things are pretty topsy turvy. He just got his internet connection today. He got it from Charter Cable.
Timing.
Yeah, he did the last night show he did from his brother who lives like 5 minutes away from him. And works at the same organization where his new job is. So it's nice.
Good.
Yeah. So he's not dropped in the middle of nowhere. He has people that he knows, you know, and again, his internet just got turned on today. And then of course, then he had this headset debacle because he left it over at his brother's house. So, of course.
So, well, Jack T in the chat room says that Ben's pizza is here. That's
oh, okay. Ben, your pizza is here, Ben. So anyway, Ben has mysteriously disappeared for 5 minutes, and we'll
find him.
We'll find him. Oh, he's back. There he is. Okay. Yeah.
Hi. Okay. Or he'll find us. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, we've been talking about you.
Okay.
So there it is.
I was not here, so I did not know what you said.
Yes, that's right, and you will never will. Unless you listen to the rebroadcast.
Hey, yes. I never do that.
Oh, I see what it is. Zach had to go out. Okay. Zach is one of Ben's two dogs. Is a Landseer. And evidently when he has to go, he has to go. So
nature calls.
So anyway, we are back and we are talking about Linux now. In this hour, we're going to talk about email, the emails that you receive over the week, over the month, actually. Again, you can follow along with these emails. Just go over the show notes. There's a link there. You can click on it and you can read the emails that we get. And we're going to start off. Now, you pick these because these are kind of relevant to,
Yeah, I try to pick the ones that are relevant to our topic, or I pick the emails and then that generates a topic, or sometimes they are of interest to new Linux users, or people interested in trying Linux. And every once in a while, I get a geeky one and stick it in there just for good measure.
Got it. All right. okay. All right. So anyway, we're going to go to Frank. I don't know if it's the same Frank that's in the chat room, but this Frank writes, he says he's already moved to System 76. I assume we're not talking about the gas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes. So System 76 that we were talking about in the first hour is a manufacturer of computers pre-installed with Linux, with Ubuntu in particular. So Frank writes to us, "Hi, Larry, Bill, and retired Tom. I understand Tom is retired from the show. I hope the Going Linux podcast has a nice retirement plan for him." Sure, mm-hmm. We do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been listening to, learning from, and enjoying your podcast for a long time. I started using Linux several years ago with Mandrake. I moved to several other distributions and finally found Ubuntu 6. I stayed with Ubuntu until support was ending for 10.04 long-term support. I don't have to have the latest and greatest. I just want it to work, so I use the long-term support releases. And just for new listeners, Ubuntu is a distribution of Linux that every 2 years releases a long-term support release where they provide support for, as the name suggests, a longer term than the releases that they provide every 6 months in between. So if you want something that is absolutely rock stable, you want to go with a long-term support release as Frank does. So Frank continues, "I tried Unity, which is the Ubuntu, current Ubuntu desktop interface or user interface. And he says, but I do not care for it. I tried Linux Mint and did not care for it. Oh. I tried using different desktop environments in Ubuntu 12.04 long-term support and settled for XFCE, but I was still not happy. I watched a podcast about Point Linux on Category 5 Technology TV, which is an internet TV broadcast. Mm-hmm. Not really television, but, you know, they do a lot of videos. Mm-hmm. It looked interesting, so I tried it. It uses Debian with the Mate desktop environment. The distribution is the closest to the old Ubuntu I've been able to find. I am now a happy camper. Please take a look at Point Linux, and he provides us a link to pointlinux.org. Mm-hmm. It may be for you or your listeners. Thanks for your great podcast. I have not completely gone Linux. I have an old Windows netbook I use to update my Garmin GPS maps. Other than that, I use my System 76 laptop with Point Linux. Thanks again, Frank.
Now, is this a case of, he was comfortable with something, and so when he tried something else, if it wasn't exactly like the thing that he was comfortable with, even though it might be better, he was unhappy with it?
Yeah, I think he grew to like the desktop environment that Ubuntu first introduced, which was based on the GNOME desktop environment. Mm-hmm. And then GNOME changed their interface. Ubuntu went to a different interface. And this Mate desktop environment that he talked about is something that's available on many Linux distributions, including Linux Mint, as well as the Point Linux that he's talking about here. And it is almost exactly the same as the old GNOME used to be. And that's why I'm sure he's so comfortable with it, is because it's familiar. It's very similar to what he used on Ubuntu 6 that he started with, and all the way up to 10.04 Ubuntu, they were using the same desktop environment until they switched to Unity. So moving to a distribution with the Mate desktop, which is spelled M-A-T-E, you would think it would be called Mate, but it's supposed to be pronounced Mate from what I understand. It's very, very similar to the old GNOME environment.
Right. You say Mate, I say Mate, you say tomato, you know, exactly.
Yeah, all that, yes. Yeah, all these Linux names and
it's like
between the spelling and the pronouncing, you never know what you're going to get.
I mean, you say target, I say tarjay, you know, so that's
it. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay.
And System 76 could be System.
Exactly. So, all right.
Moving along.
Kevin in Annapolis, Maryland is trying to make a choice to buy Linux pre-installed.
Yes, you're catching the theme here on these emails. Kevin says, hey, Larry, Tom, Larry and Bill, and then Tom in parentheses with two question marks. So I'm guessing that's what happened to Tom. I have decided to invest in a Linux system for a laptop from either System 76 or Zerizon. I like that I can select any distro from the Zerizon unit, but it is a bit more expensive and appears to be a bit heavier. Also, would you recommend adding more memory or upgrade the drive by adding an SSD, even if it's a small SSD drive? Would you expect any problems wiping Ubuntu off the System 76 and installing Crunchbang or Linux Mint Debian? I will then want to install Windows 7 in VirtualBox or something for a couple of applications that I plan to continue to use. I have never had much success with virtual machines, but I think that it has more to do with my limited resources on existing equipment than with VirtualBox itself. What issues might I face with this configuration? Keep up the good work, and thanks for all the effort. Sincerely, Kevin in Annapolis, Maryland. Lots of questions, Kevin, so let's see if we can answer some of them. So, moving back up the email, would I recommend getting more memory or upgrading the drive by adding an SSD, even if it's a small SSD? Well, my recommendation is always, for best performance, go with as much RAM as you can afford, and if you have enough money left over for an SSD, fine. If not, get a fast spinning hard drive, but get the better memory. That's my recommendation.
All right, and we'll continue on with this. We're up against the break. We'll continue on with Larry's response to Kevin. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network. It's our All Linux Show tonight. We'll be right back. 21 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. Ben and I are talking to Larry Bushy. It's our All Linux Show, and we're doing these emails. Again, we invite you to check them out at our website at computeramerica.com. Just go to our show notes, and you can see everything. We're talking to Larry Bushy, and we're reading emails this hour. And
Actually, I have a comment real quick about the last email that we did.
Yes?
The one, Kevin from...
Annapolis?
Yeah, that one. He was asking, first of all, you know, and Larry kind of said, you know, get the best memory that you can. Uh-huh. I agree with that completely. But also another thing to consider is if you don't have enough for like a larger, you know, SSD, you know, like a 500 or something like that, you know, something reasonable, you can get something like a 32 or a 64 gig solid state drive, and you can actually use that as cache for your hard drive. Yeah. And it speeds up the whole thing very, very much. So you get some of the benefits, not all of them, but it's very much worth looking into.
Right. And on some of the computers from both of the vendors that he's looking at, System 76 and Zerizon, they offer a boot drive that is SSD that is actually on a chip rather than on a separate replaceable hard drive. And then they put in a secondary hard drive that might be a spinning hard drive, or if later on you want an SSD, you can take the spinning hard drive out and replace it with an SSD as well. So the, you get the speed of the solid state components to boot the system and run the operating system, and the capacity at a lower price of a spinning hard drive for storing your data. So they've actually thought of everything in these companies, and they offer that as one of their options for the standard package.
All right.
So actually, I've written a rather lengthy response to Kevin to try to address all of his questions, and I was a little hesitant before the break to read it because I knew I wasn't going to be able to get through it all, but I think I might read at least part of it, if not the whole thing here, and answer all of the questions in one whack, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Okay, so in my response to Kevin, I wrote, "Hi, Kevin," which seemed appropriate as I was writing an email back to him. "Thanks for the email. In the end, either vendor's machines will be an excellent choice. As you've discovered, System 76 preloads only Ubuntu, but their hardware should play nicely with almost any other distributions, especially those based on Ubuntu like Mint. Bear in mind that System 76 doesn't mind you installing other distributions yourself, but they provide some specific utilities and drivers designed for use with Ubuntu. If you have pretty much decided that the System 76 system is better, and the only thing holding you back is that you'd like to use something other than Ubuntu, I wouldn't hesitate to get the System 76 rep on the phone or chat to discuss your plans. I hear that they're just helpful that way. If you are still not at that point, I'd be tempted to go with Zerizon. They support their systems with other distributions as well as Ubuntu. Uh-huh. As far as more memory and an SSD, I would definitely recommend it getting as much RAM as possible, especially if you're going to run a virtual machine. That way you can dedicate 2 gigabytes of RAM or more to the virtual machine and still have plenty for your host system. An SSD is a matter of personal choice. Any system you purchase will likely be plenty fast with an i7 or an i5 processor. If cost is an issue, go with a spinning hard drive. If you have the money and the interest, then an SSD can help your computer boot and run slightly faster. If I had to choose between spending money on more RAM or an SSD, I'd choose the RAM every time. But that's my personal opinion. As long as you give the virtual machine a gigabyte of RAM or more than the minimum required for Windows 7, you should find that it will run just fine. If you haven't run VirtualBox before, I'd set it up with the default settings for network connection and start with the other default settings. That should avoid any issues related to misconfiguration, which is the main issue with VirtualBox. From there, install the extension pack, as Oracle calls it, mm-hmm. or and install the guest additions once you've installed VirtualBox and have everything running. Those two packages will let you use the VM and let it see your USB ports and give you a few more options than you would without using them. So let us know how it goes. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right. There you go. All right.
All right.
All right. So I think that's pretty much self-explanatory. And now this next email is from Robert in Nashville, who wants – okay. Let you know. He wants to let you know that you're getting the Linux message out, I guess, right?
Yes, exactly. And as you know, before my co-host Bill's promotion to co-host, he was the show's chief executive minion. So with that in mind, let's read Robert's email about getting the message out. Larry and Bill, I had to share this story. My wife and I are at the bank opening our business accounts. While a banker is, quote, doing his thing on their computer system, my wife comments to both the banker and I that she is the CFO of our family. My response is that I am the CEO, CTO, COO, and more. At which time she says, no, just my minion. And my response was, no, chief executive minion, CEM. And the banker stops what he's doing, looks at me and says, going Linux? And I started laughing, and my wife looks at us, realizes what we're saying, and says, no, geeks are everywhere.
Ah, so
we all laughed. He listens to the podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. So Robert wraps up, you're doing a much better job getting the word out than you think. Congratulations.
There you go.
Yeah. I thought that was just cool.
Very, very cool.
Hello to that banker in Nashville, exactly. Tennessee.
There you go.
Weirdest times. Like it's you know you don't even think about what you're saying. And one time I was talking with some phone rep. It was like from AT&T or someone. You know, I'm on call hold and I'm talking with someone, and in the background, you know, my friends are shouting about a video game, and then the guy would just stop and he's like, "Are you playing World of Warcraft back there?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like,
"Yeah,
yeah." I hear it back there. I'm like, "Ah, okay." It's like you'll say something in public, and you know, someone will get the reference.
There you go. Hey, listen, we can take another break, and then we'll continue on. We'll continue on with Renee's email right after this. Stay with us.
Sorry, 5 minutes past the hour. We're still here with Larry Bushy, and we're reading emails from, you know, just everyone apparently who has something to say about Linux, and you know, a lot of them are great. And you know, last one being, you know, you never know who listens to what, when, and where, but you know, apparently, Larry, you're doing a good job over there. And
yes,
people are noticing.
Apparently so. Yes.
So that email, the next one is from Renee.
Yes. And as a ham radio operator, Renee asked about the availability of ham radio software on Linux and asked for a recommendation on a Linux distribution for hams. After an initial exchange, he wrote with some more questions. I'm going to read his email, and I don't usually read my responses on the air. I usually respond off the cuff, but this one again is a little detailed, and so I want to get the topic right, mainly because I'm not a ham radio operator and I want to make sure that I get the details correct. So Renee's email, he says, hello Larry, thank you for all the information. As there is much software available for Linux Mint, or is there as much software available for Linux Mint as there is for Debian? Which distribution has the most ham radio software? Are there more distributions like Debian? I had read on a forum that Debian is not as user-friendly as Ubuntu. When updating or downloading programs, do you have more or different applications to perform in Debian? Ubuntu is said to have automated this with a packet manager. Correct me if I'm wrong. Best regards, Renee. Yeah. And it's pretty obvious that Renee's first language is not English. he or she has done an excellent job of communicating here, I think, although some of the spelling made it a little difficult to read. But I think I got most of the gist of what Renee wrote. And here's my response to Renee. Hi again, Renee. Yes, Ubuntu is more user-friendly than Debian, but Mint is equally or even more user-friendly than Ubuntu. For example, although with Ubuntu, everything that is provided for you, quote, just works, it doesn't come with the ability to play common file formats like MP3 audio. Those are considered, quote, extras you have to install yourself. Granted, installing all of the extras involves a tiny bit of reading and then just one or two clicks on Ubuntu, so it's not bad. With Linux Mint, it's all pre-installed and ready to use. The package manager, think software package, not digital radio packets, is something that comes on almost every Linux distribution and retrieves software packages from software repositories maintained by the distribution. The name for the package manager varies from distribution to distribution, but they almost always have one. In addition to all of its own software repositories, Ubuntu has access to all of the software that is available for Debian via the Ubuntu Software Center, a graphical front end to its package manager. Mm-hmm. Linux Mint's software manager has access to all of the Debian repositories, all of the Ubuntu repositories, and its own repositories. In the end, a Linux distribution that is derived from Debian has access to all of the software repositories of Debian, including all of Debian's ham radio software packages. And there are lots of ham radio software packages for Debian. Installing software using a package manager on Linux is really easy. When the distribution is like Ubuntu or Mint, they have an iTunes-like software center or software manager for finding and installing the software you want. Unlike other operating systems that require you to know the name of the program you want before you can find it, Linux lets you search by category. So on Mint, for example, instead of looking for Chrome to find your web browser, you can just search for browser and you'll see Chromium, Firefox, Opera, Midori, and more listed.
That's nice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Double click to read the description, then click the big install button. If the package is already installed, it will have a green check mark on it, and the search results page will show that green check mark. Yes. Then that will let you know that it's ready to use. And on Linux, after installing almost all new software, you can begin using it straight away, no rebooting necessary.
That's nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I wanted to make sure that I got all the points because it was a little more than just your average response, I guess.
Yeah, but it was good, and then it was a nice explanation. Okay. So let's go to Robert.
Our next
Robert. Yeah. Let's go to Robert. He's trying to make the switch to the Ultimate Edition, which is a new which is a distribution based on Ubuntu. Okay.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of people think that it's actually an Ubuntu distribution, but it's not. It's based on Ubuntu. Yeah. Robert writes, "Hi, Larry and Tom. I've been a fan for a while, but unknown to you. So now that I have moved completely to Linux, buying a W laptop, paying the Windows tax, ouch, wish there were more Linux machine retailers near. It was a big challenge erasing the W. Was not easy with some security blocking me from booting to the CD or DVD, and then had issues with the Linux distribution Ultimate Edition. I had been dreaming to install with full pre-installed features and programs, yet not updated enough. I had errors, crashes, back to back, unfortunately. As flashy and shiny as there is something to be said for simplicity." Mm. So I'm taking from that that Robert never got the Ultimate Edition installed.
Nope.
Perhaps he's still using W, which of course stands for Winders. So having looked at his email a little bit more closely, I'm suspecting that he has purchased a laptop and tried to install Ultimate Edition on a new laptop that has Secure Boot or UEFI installed. And what that is some BIOS-based, or actually it's not BIOS at all. It's a replacement for BIOS that is the software that runs before you actually start your computer. When you first start it, it runs a little piece of software that checks to make sure that there's something to boot, and then it boots, you know, Linux or Windows or whatever you have on there from there. Well, this UEFI is something relatively new, and certainly Secure Boot is something that Windows, or Microsoft rather, has mandated that computer manufacturers put on their computers if they want to label them as Windows 8 compatible. Unfortunately, what this Secure Boot does is it blocks you or anyone from installing any other operating system on the computer. So the Linux community, being what it is, has some workarounds for this, but I suspect that that's what's happening here, and that's why he got blocked from installing it, from booting from a live CD, and had the crashes and the errors and so on. And the reason I think that is because Ultimate Edition is actually based on an older version of Ubuntu that was distributed prior to Ubuntu and Canonical putting the UEFI bootloader into the current version of Ubuntu. So because Ultimate Edition is based on version 12.04, it doesn't have the UEFI installer in it, and so as a result, it is not going to install. You might just try Ubuntu, a more recent version of Ubuntu. Yeah. 13.04 would be the most recent version that you could try.
But I think that'll solve the problem?
It might, and if it doesn't, then maybe his hardware is not compatible with Linux. Yeah,
exactly.
Always an issue.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, this next email is from Jenny, and I'm not sure if I just got a slap in the face with this one, because she makes a nice comment and then she turns around and pulls it right back about our show.
Yeah. Every once in a while we get this kind of an email, and I thought I'd bring one to the show. You know, fair. I guess I don't know what to say.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that sometimes. We don't have such great fans.
Yeah, so, evidently. Anyway. All right, I'll read it. All right.
All right. So Jenny wrote with some criticism. Hi, Larry and Bill. I just listened to the recent Computer America episode. I normally don't bother with those episodes anymore, but this was a subject I was rather interested in hearing your take on. I have to say, though, I was a bit disappointed. You made a few good points, and I don't disagree with you regarding the Chromebooks and such meeting the needs of most users. What was disappointing, though, is that you seemingly ignored the years of the Linux desktop that we've already had. Linux has been a functional desktop operating system for a long time now, and for most of the everyday needs of user, Linux has been a viable option for a non-tech-savvy user since at least 2005, with distributions like Mandriva, and for more tech-savvy users long before that, thanks to distros like Debian and my choice, Slackware.
Well, why don't we'll continue this when we get back, okay?
Yeah,
right.
I think so.
All right, this is the Computer America Show. We're reading an email from Jenny. And welcome back to the Computer America Show. Ben and I are talking to Larry Bushy. He is the host of the Going Linux podcast, and we're continuing on with him. We're reading an email right now from Jenny, who listened to a recent Computer America episode and was making some comments about what Larry had said on the show. And so let's continue on.
Okay, so continuing on, she says, nowadays, even more advanced needs beyond those of the average user are met in Linux. On one of my Slackware machines, I record, render, and edit audio and video with the same and sometimes better quality I was able to get on Windows with a much more efficient workflow. While I went the difficult route and made a media production setup on Slackware, doing it on a distribution with a dependency resolving package manager, so basically every other distro, we Slackers are an odd bunch, means that this is only a matter of a couple mouse clicks and typing in your password. The year of the Linux desktop has been here for a long, long time. We are never going to overtake Windows or Apple at this rate in terms of market share, but that does not mean that for those who want something else or value their freedom or want to set up someone else on Linux, or any of the other reasons people choose their operating systems, Linux is not a viable option. The only thing I could do on Windows or on Apple OS that I cannot currently do on Linux equally well is play certain games. Worth noting, virtually all of this also applies to the BSDs, especially PC BSD, which is specifically targeted to non-techie users. Though some would argue that since Apple's OS X has a bunch of modified BSD code, BSD is well ahead of Linux in the desktop market. But in this email, I'm referring to the BSD and Linux systems that don't completely hate freedom. Jenny.
It's interesting. She said the year of the Linux desktop has been here for a long time. We did a show on that. It's already here.
Yeah, and that was actually the discussion, the topic where we were talking about the Chromebook, because the Chromebook was an example of how Linux had actually taken over the cloud-based operating system, while Windows and Mac were looking elsewhere, quite frankly. So I think Jenny's point is that Linux has been around a long time. Sure, from a marketing perspective, it's not taking market share at a tremendous clip that would allow it to overshadow Windows or even Apple at this time. And I think that was our point, really, is that Linux, especially with the Chrome operating system and Google's backing of that, they have marketing behind them. They have the ability to put some power behind here and gain some market share, not of the desktop running software that you go purchase and install, but rather running applications that run in a browser where your operating system is just a method of getting on the internet and not much more than that. So, I understand what Jenny is saying, that, it's been around a long time. It meets the needs of a lot of people as a desktop operating system in the traditional sense of the word. But the point of the last month's episode was to discuss it from a little different perspective, that maybe the year of the Linux desktop isn't so much a desktop as it is a cloud top, if you will. Not a really good coined phrase, but it's the only thing that came to mind.
It really seems like, her version of, what makes the year of Linux desktop, like the goals are different. Like, what a lot of people, when they look at Linux, when they can finally say it's the year of the Linux desktop, is when, Linux hits 51% and everyone else hits 49%. It's something like that, but it's when companies start developing software specifically for Linux instead of, kind of modifying them and, making them for Apple or Microsoft first. Mm. But what she's saying is, it's completely usable, has been usable for a long time, lots of ways to use it, works perfect for everyone and anyone. So it seems like two different kinds of goals.
Yeah, two very different kinds of goals and two very different approaches to things. I mean, another spin on this whole thing is the fact that Linux and desktop Linux and Windows and Mac OS X are all hardware-based for desktop and laptop computers, but biggest seller of an electronic computing device these days is not a desktop or a laptop. It's a mobile phone or some sort of mobile tablet.
Yeah.
And most of those at this point in time are not Windows. They're not even Apple running iOS, they are Android devices running Linux.
Hey, Larry, listen, great show, great topic, and great emails, and we're out of time. What can I tell you?
Okay.
It really flies by when
that happens
fun.
Every month.
Yes, it does. Listen, thanks so much for being with us here, Larry, and we will catch
you
again next month on the third Tuesday of the month, okay?
I'll be here.
All right. So until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. We'll see you.
Good night, everyone.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.